I see that we have a lot of guests with us today, and I want to thank you for being here with us. I would like to say, too, the more you participate with me, the sooner we can get out of here.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
All right. It is good to see everyone. I do hope you're having a blessed day, and I hope that the day will be filled with memories and blessings and wonderful times that you'll share in the days that God still has prepared before us. And it's always good to celebrate the goodness of God in His time as well. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we start celebrating our Lord and Savior, I want to ask you this. I want to get you to celebrate with me as we always do. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. All right. This morning, I'm going to continue in Romans chapter 12, and I do want you to stand with me this morning in honor of God's Word. Romans chapter 12, our focus is verse number 2, but I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for this time that we can share with you and with each other and to celebrate with our families the goodness that you have brought in our life. And I pray, Father, each and every one of us has a celebration, has that joy and that hope eternal through you. And Father, if not, I pray, touch hearts today, soften and heal, and prepare to receive. Lord, strengthen us. We ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, it's very easy to be one of the crowd, isn't it? To be part of the crowd. How many of you have been the leader of the crowd? Hey, man, we got one back there that's going to give a testimony. Oh, all of us know what it's like to be in a crowd or to have friends and cliques and to have things that we do. And we all know what it's like for our friends and our cliques and our crowds to want to do things that aren't always the right things we should do. We all know what it is to do wrong. We also ought to know what it is to do right and how to be a good person, to be a person that would reflect God's love and honor on us as we show it back to those that are around us, as we love our neighbor as God has loved us. And so it's easy for us to understand through our own lives, not just looking at others, but through our own lives, what it means to be conformed to the world. Paul is telling us, even today, God is speaking to us. I want you to hear this. God is speaking to us, and he's saying, don't be conformed to the world. And there are too many things in this world that can shape our minds and our attitudes about things that we might not hold as something very important. But when we begin to build our foundation on a whole lot of little things that aren't very important, we find out sooner or later we have built our house on something that's not going to stand. And we break and fall apart because of those things that weren't very important. We have to learn how to take the things that aren't very important in our life and treat them the same as those that are really important in our life. So we're building the same kind of life every day with the same kind of focus and the same kind of care. The little things in the world, they matter. the things that are happening in the world. It matters how we approach it and how we justify it or accept it. We have to be changed when we become a follower of Christ and not conform to the world, not even to give in to the easiest of things to give in to, the little things to give in to. And it's always hard to stand in truth in every moment, in every day, isn't it? But God's calling us to be that way. Listen to what he says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those things you used to accept, you began to understand, I can't accept this anymore. This isn't right for me anymore. It wasn't right for you to begin with, but now you begin to understand it. You see it for what it is. You try to tell your friends what it is. You lose your friends because of what it is. But you find new friends because of what it is. You find fellowship in other believers. We unite together so we keep ourselves strong every day, every week. We come together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves so that we can remember the joy of Christ and his love in our life. I tell you, when you're living on your own out there, it's easy to forget. It's easy to fall into a time of trouble or tribulation and to forget because you're standing on your own. You don't have family and friends to support you, not even in the church, because you quit the church. Or you walked away and you think, I can handle this. See, that's what the world wants you to think. You're conforming to the way of the world when you live like that. Paul's saying we have to be changed. You know, to be changed and to be one of God's children means we don't walk alone. And we're not always the leader of the pack. Most times we should always be the follower, right? God should always be the leader in our pack, right? And we should be following his lead and his desire in our life. But to be conformed to the world. You know, it's hard to sometimes just grasp what it means to be conformed when we talk about all the different things that we face in life and we allow ourselves to be influenced by. But let me tell you what it means to be conformed. Before I do, though, you know it's Mother's Day? You know what you get on Mother's Day? Desserts. Well, at least some of us, I see, get this. How many of you are going to have desserts today? Already have. Amen. How many of you like pies and puddings and, right? How many of you like cookies? You know, you wouldn't be able to look at me and tell, but I've had desserts in my life. And cookies, I love cookies. Cookies are easy to dispose of. Get rid of the evidence real quick. I go through all of that because I want to make this point to you. We all know what a cookie is, right? How many of you like to make cookies that have shapes and designs? Right? That's what being conformed is all about. You take a cookie and you take a little handle and you stamp it out. You roll your dough and you stamp it out. Whatever it is you're making your cookie out of, you stamp it out, you peel it, and you put it on the pan and you bake it, and it comes out looking just like you stamped it to be. That's being conformed, and that's what the world does to us. It stamps us out based on what image it wants us to be. And I'm telling you, the image of the world is ugly. The image of the world is ugly, and the more you let it stamp you out, and you conform to the image that it wants you to be, you are making yourself ugly in the eyes of the God. Oh, the world's going to love you. It's going to love you. It's going to eat you up and get rid of the evidence. You'll be on your own facing the world conformed. Conform to what it was you became because you trusted it rather than the transforming power of Christ in your life. So you understand what it means to be conformed. It means to be shaped. It means to be made that way. And it's just what you look like. And that's what you are, through and through. What does it mean to be transformed? Paul says we shouldn't be conformed, but we should be transformed. So what does it mean to be transformed? It means something changes, doesn't it? Something in our life must change. And how many of us know what change is all about? We know what change is, don't we? We know what it feels like to change from being a baby and can't crawl to being a senior and have to have help walking sometimes, don't we? A lot of change in between those two points. Helping others to grow, it brings change in our life when we have to help others. These aren't the kind of changes I'm talking about, though. The kind of change I'm talking about is transformational change. How many of you know where butterflies come from? Right? You see these caterpillars and they cocoon themselves, and then the next thing you see is beautiful butterflies flying around. That's transformation. That's becoming a new creation in Christ too. In our life, that's what it should reflect. Not being conformed to the world. We don't want to just be a cocoon our whole life, do we? We want to become the butterfly. We want to become transformed. We want to be that beautiful new creation in Christ for the world to see. Fluttering around, sharing joy and peace wherever we go. I've never seen an ugly, mean butterfly in my whole life, have you? I've never stepped outside and looked at butterflies and had a swarming attack run me back in the house. Have you? No. This is the kind of transformation we need. We need to become butterflies of God, if you will. Transform for the world to see. And we're just fluttering around out there, and we're as peaceful and as kind as we can be with everyone that we interact with, everyone that we come in contact with, everyone that is a part of our life. We become something that is peaceful to them, something that is a joy to see. I love watching butterflies. How about you? I'm seeing more of them flying around right now, too. It's a wonderful thing to see the butterflies flying around. And that's what it means to be transformed. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're changing completely through and through. And if we change and become what God wants us to be, in that way we can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not just showing the world that we look like something, we're showing the world that we are something. We're changed. We're renewed. And it's a wonder. It's a wonderful thing to have that change in our life. And those of us that have had that change with the Holy Spirit coming in and renew us and giving us that hope and that joy of life in Christ, we know what it feels like to be changed. The joy of it. And it has to begin somewhere, doesn't it? If we want to be changed, where does it begin? How do we find this change that God is calling us to have in our life? It has to start somewhere, doesn't it? It begins with the Holy Spirit and thus each of us having relationship through the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen to these words found in Titus. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You begin to transform when you are renewed through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who washes us and regenerates us into a new creation. The world's not looking at us as a fully formed butterfly in that moment, though. You know, it takes time for us to really show the beauty of God, doesn't it? But it has to begin with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to be renewed. We have to be reborn through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's where it begins. Have you had a new birth in the Holy Spirit? Have you had that moment where you knew that you were God's and God was yours? And not just to have alone, but to share. You share God, but guess what? God is sharing you. It's a relationship. And it's not just for you and God and God and you. It's for you and God and everyone that God can invite and who will come. And we get to go out and joyously share that good news of Jesus Christ because we are renewed through the Holy Spirit. And life is different. And where we had despair, we had hope. And where we were tired and weary, we found strength. And what we saw as the end of our days here, we find renewed in eternity because of Christ. Hope eternal. And that's what it is. Hope eternal. Because we are born again in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us that hope and that joy when it renews us in Jesus Christ. And there's no other name by which you must be saved. It must be Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved than Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for salvation through your own works or through some other means apart from Jesus Christ, maybe you think there's a lot of paths to heaven because we have so many people in the world that say, oh, I don't believe a loving God would only give us one way. I'm telling you today, a loving God has given you one way. And it's Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. There is no other way. And there is no other way to be renewed except through Christ. Not the kind of renewal that's going to matter for you. Not the kind of renewal that's going to bring that joy and hope that's eternal for you. You can find joy and hope in a lot of things in the world, but you won't have the kind of renewal that I'm talking about in the world. Because eventually the world's going to abandon you. It's going to leave you on the doorstep to eternity, and it's not going to leave you with any hope at all. And you'll be standing there saying, what next? Because you wouldn't listen when people were trying to tell you what's next. And I'm telling you, if you step into eternity without renewing through the Holy Spirit and peace with the Father through Jesus Christ, eternity is not pleasant. It is eternal. And it is damnation. And it is loss of hope. And it is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it is a place where their worm never dies. That's what Jesus said. And their worm will never die. But he doesn't want that for you. I don't want that for anyone. And no one who has been renewed in Christ wants that for anyone. It doesn't matter how ugly your life has been. We're not worried about what you have been or who you were. We're talking about what you can become in Christ. And the testimony that you can bring to the world once you are renewed in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Renewal comes first through the Holy Spirit. But how do you grow once you get there? If you don't want to be conformed, that means you're putting away the lessons that the world is teaching you. You want to be renewed. You want to be transformed. So the Holy Spirit's going to renew you. But where do you go from there? Where are the lessons for you to learn from there to help you grow and become that beautiful butterfly that you should be for God? It's God's words. It begins with the Spirit and it continues through His Word. It continues through His Word. I want to remind you of a parable that Jesus taught. In Matthew chapter 13, He was talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And He said, behold, a sower goes out to sow, and as he's sowing, some of the seed will fall by the wayside. And as it falls by the wayside, the birds just come along and eat it up. He said, there's also this seed that's going to land on the rocky stone in the places where there's no real soil for there to be a root to take place, but it's going to spring up. The plant's going to jump up and people like me that like to plant gardens, we're going to see things grow and just think, oh boy, it's growing, it's growing. And then watch it die. Because it can't get a root. It can't grow. There's nothing to keep it alive. He said there's also seed that will land on thorny ground. And the thorns will come up and choke it out so it can't grow and become what it needs to be. And it's going to die as well. But then he said there's soil where the seeds land and it becomes fruitful. And what a joy it is to have fruitful things in our life. Isn't it? And Jesus told us that this parable isn't just about some guy out there throwing seeds trying to plant something. He said it was about His Word and people hearing His words. It's about their hearts and their minds receiving and understanding His words. And some people will just be on the outside edges and they'll hear a little bit and it won't matter to them one little bit. And the birds, the things of the world will just come in and scoop it up and take it away because it'll bring everything of the world that they're looking for into their life and they'll forget even that there is a God. They'll begin to pretend even and convince themselves so thoroughly there is no God, they won't even think about it again until they get to the end. And then they face the reality. It's the Word that lands on the rocky soil that it is received with great joy and it begins to spring up, but then it dies. Because even though they try to conform themselves to look like Christians, they're not really transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. My friends, I want you to know it's easy to say you're a Christian, but it's not easy to be a Christian. It's easy to say that you know who Jesus is, but it's a lot harder to walk the way that Jesus calls you to walk. And there is a difference. And there is a difference. And so ask yourself today, am I stony ground or am I fertile ground? I don't think you're on the wayside. I don't think it's just something you're hearing and going to walk away. I pray it's not. I pray you're not stony ground receiving the seed with joy only for a moment, you know, and then you run into some kind of hardship and you say, well, God's abandoned me. God's with us in all things. He's even gone further than any of us could travel. How many of you would take the cross for my life? I've met people I wouldn't take the cross for, have you? I say that with honesty. Because I want you to know I'm human just like everybody else. And I try every day to love people like God calls me to love. Sometimes it's hard. There might be one day I would take a cross for somebody and another day I'm saying, dude, you're on your own. I've had enough. But Jesus looked at us and He said, I've never had enough. I'll take the cross every day for you. But the joy is He only had to take it that one. So why can't we accept that? Why can't we receive the good news of Jesus Christ and be renewed through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? The Word might land on good ground, but we keep so many thorns around us that it chokes us out. How many of us have so many things in our life we can't be what God needs us to be or do what God needs us to do because we have too many concerns, too many other things? Life's busy though, isn't it? How many of you have a busy life? Moms know how busy life can be raising kids, right? Dad's always out of the house. Like Mother's Day. We get out of the house on Mother's Day because we think that Mom would just love to have time to the children alone. Life's hard. Life is hard. And it can bring trials and tribulations. I'm glad none of you had to raise me as a child. And I know you are too, yes. Amen. Why do we fill our life with things, though, that choke out what God wants us to be? And that's what thorns do. I don't know. Maybe someone was hurt in church, and that happens a lot. Don't let those thorns keep you from the garden. I've never seen a rose bush that didn't have a thorn, have you? But the gardens of God are beautiful. And He never said that they wouldn't have thorns in there. You just keep going. You just keep being what God is calling you to be. You keep growing in the world, in the Word, and not the world, because you are renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're transforming. Thorns don't hurt anymore. Because we love beyond reason and we care more than we should in the eyes of others. Because we're new and changed and renewed. And we become that peaceful thing that people see and long to see. I go outside, I want to see butterflies. How many of you go outside and think, man, I'm glad there ain't no butterflies out here today. And keep them stinking birds and squirrels out of my yard. I don't want to see them no more. They're always singing. What they got to sing about? Those are the things we long for when we're looking for a peaceful moment. Isn't it wonderful when you see these things? The beautiful cardinals and the bluebirds. Some of them, the prettiest bluebirds I've seen this year. Rich in color. Butterflies. How wonderful. How peaceful. People want to look at us and find that same kind of peace. They want to be around us and have that same kind of peace. God wants us to show and to live that kind of peace with others. He's calling us to be transformed, to be fertile ground, so that when the Word comes into us, it sprouts and grows and the fruit multiplies over and over and over. What a wonderful thing it is to be renewed in Christ and for the world to see it. For the world to see it lived and experienced. You know, once they see that in you, they begin to experience it. It begins to touch them. You think, oh, I don't make a difference to anyone. My friends, you're making a difference when you touch someone's life with love. When you become that person God is trying to get you to be, to grow into that person God wants you to be. Not conformed by the standards of the world, but by the calling of God and the love of God. God doesn't look at any one of us and say, well, you need a little work before you come in here again. Does He do that? No. He looks at each one of us and He says, I see where you've been. I see where you are. And this is the joy of it, because we get to share this with other people as well. But let me tell you now where you can go. And you tell them the wonder of traveling with Christ. The beauty of it, the wonders of it, the joys of it. Well, you're going to hit a pothole every once in a while. You're not going to see the road signs you need to see sometimes, and even if you do, if your husband's driving and you're a teen, he might not pay attention and take the exit when he's supposed to. How many of you ever do that? Miss the road sign? I'll tell y'all about that one day. But God's always with us, and He always gets us back where we need to be, as long as we're willing to be led back to where we need to be. And that might be where you are today. You might know Christ and you might have that peace and that eternal joy and hope, but you have allowed yourself to be dragged off and you think you're in Never Never Land. You don't know how you're going to get back. Let me tell you how you get back. You say, Christ, oh Lord my God, I did it. I put myself right here where I'm at, and I don't know how to get back. And I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your forgiveness. You just let Him know. Get personal with Him. God, here I am, and it's my fault. Don't blame it on the world. Don't blame it on circumstances that others may have acted out which impacted your life. God, here I am. See, you begin to transform. And you begin to take responsibility for yourself and where you are. And God will come and He will help. He can heal and He can bring joy. And He can give you the excitement of life again. And what a wonderful thing it is when we can show that good and perfect and acceptable will of God in our life. When we're living that kind of life, it shows. And people see that peace. And people see that joy. And they might even see the storm that's raging around you, but you don't. And they can't understand why. You tell them why. Oh, I've already passed through that storm with victory. Christ has got me in the palm of His hand. I am okay. And I'm going to be okay. And I always will be okay because Christ has me. Living a life that's transformed is much different than living a life that is conformed to whatever it is around you that's going on. You look at it different. You walk through it different. You reflect the goodness of God differently because it's there. And the hope is real. And so is the joy. My friends, if you don't know what it feels like to walk a transformed life, I'm asking you today, find that hope and that joy, and to live it. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My challenge to you today is this. Be that butterfly of God in the time that you still have before you. Bring that peace and that joy to those around you. Let them experience it through you. God's calling us to be His, not just at home or in church, but in the world. Not conformed, but transformed, so they can see there is life ever after. Life ever after in Jesus. Do you know Him today? Do you know the peace and the joy of salvation in Christ? If you don't, why not today? Can you give yourself to Christ? Can you put up the good fight? Let Him transform you into a new creation. It's a joy. It's a wonderful thing. And I invite you to know it. And the altar is open if you will come. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for this special day of celebration with our mothers. And I thank You for all of the mothers that are there and here, and the good mothers, Lord, that have loved their children, cared for their children, even rough on their children, to help them learn and to grow. And Father, we thank You too for Your love upon us, the grace and the mercy that is with us every day, for the hope and the joy that is with us every day. Lord, I pray, if there is one here who does not have the hope and the joy of life in You, Lord, speak to them now. Call to them so that they can hear. Open their ears to hear. Open their hearts to receive. Lord, I pray for Your glory and for Your honor. Souls to rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?